Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 3, Chapter 12, Part 2. But again, whom did Philip preach to the eunuch of the queen of the Ethiopians, returning from Jerusalem, and reading Isaiah the prophet, when he and this man were alone together? Was it not he of whom the prophet spoke, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before the shearer, so he opened not the mouth"? But who shall declare his nativity? For his life shall be taken away from the earth. Philip declared that this was Jesus, and that the scripture was fulfilled in him, as did also the believing eunuch himself. And immediately requesting to be baptized, he said, "I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God." This man was also sent into the regions of Ethiopia to preach what he had himself believed, that there was one God preached by the prophets, but that the Son of this God had already made his appearance in human nature, secundum hominem, and had been led as a sheep to the slaughter, and all the other statements which the prophets made regarding him. Paul himself also, after that the Lord spoke to him out of heaven, and showed him that in persecuting his disciples he persecuted his own Lord, and sent Ananias to him that he might recover his sight and be baptized, preached, it is said, Jesus in the synagogues at Damascus, with all freedom of speech, that this is the Son of God, the Christ. This is the mystery which he says was made known to him by revelation, that he who suffered under Pontius Pilate, the same is Lord of all, and King, and God, and Judge, receiving power from him who is the God of all, because he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And inasmuch as this is true, when preaching to the Athenians on the Areopagus, where no Jews being present, he had it in his power to preach God with freedom of speech, he said to them, "God who made the world and all things therein, he, being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he touched by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. Who hath made from one blood the whole race of men to dwell upon the face of the whole earth, predetermining the times according to the boundary of their habitation, to seek the deity, if by any means they might be able to track him out, or find him, although he be not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain men of your own have said, for we are also his offspring. Inasmuch, then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the deity is like unto gold or silver, or stone graven by art or man's device. Therefore God, winking at the times of ignorance, does now command all men everywhere to turn to him with repentance, because he hath appointed a day on which the world shall be judged in righteousness by the man Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance by raising him from the dead. Now, in this passage, he does not only declare to them God as creator of the world, no Jews being present, but that he did also make one race of men to dwell upon all the earth, as also Moses declared, when the Most High divided the nations, as he scattered the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the nations after the number of the angels of God. But that people which believes in God is not now under the power of angels, but under the Lord's rule. For his people Jacob was made the portion of the Lord, Israel the cord of his inheritance. And again, at Lystra of Lycia, Lycaonia, when Paul was with Barnabas, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ had made a man to walk who had been lame from his birth, and when the crowd wished to honor them as gods because of the astonishing deed, he said to them, "We are men like unto you, preaching to you God, that you may be turned away from these vain idols to serve the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, although he left not himself without witness, performing acts of goodness, giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. But that all his epistles are consonant to these declarations, I shall, when expounding the apostle, show from the epistles themselves in the right place. But while I bring out by these proofs the truths of Scripture, and set forth briefly and compendiously things which are stated in various ways, do thou also attend to them with patience, and not deem them prolix, taking this into account, that proofs of the things which are contained in the strict Scriptures cannot be shown except from the Scriptures themselves. And still further, Stephen, who was chosen the first deacon by the apostles, and who of all men was the first to follow the footsteps of the martyrdom of the Lord, being the first that was slain for confessing Christ, speaking boldly among the people and teaching them, says, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham, and said to him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. And he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him no inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him. And God spoke in this way, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and should be brought into bondage, and should be evilly treated for 400 years. And the nation whom they shall serve will I judge, says the Lord. And after that shall they come forth, and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac. And the rest of his words announce the same God, who was with Joseph and with the patriarchs, and who spoke with Moses. And that the whole range of the doctrine of the apostles proclaimed one and the same God, who removed Abraham, who made to him the promise of inheritance, who in due season gave to him the covenant of circumcision, who called his descendants out of Egypt, preserved outwardly by circumcision, for he gave it as a sign that they might not be like the Egyptians, that he was the maker of all things, that he was the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the God of glory. They who wish may learn from the very words and acts of the apostles, and may contemplate the fact that this God is one, above whom is no other. But even if there were another God above him, we should say, upon instituting a comparison of the quantity of the work done by each, that the latter is superior to the former. For by deeds the better man appears, as I have already remarked, and inasmuch as these men have no works of their father to adduce, the latter is shown to be God alone. But if anyone, doting about questions, should imagine that what the apostles have declared about God should be allegorized, let him consider my previous statements, in which I set forth one God as the founder and maker of all things, and destroyed and laid bare their allegations, and he shall find them agreeable to the doctrine of the apostles, and so to maintain what they used to teach and were persuaded of, that there is one God, the maker of all things. And when he shall have divested his mind of such error, and of that blasphemy against God which it implies, he will of himself find reason to acknowledge that both the Mosaic law and the grace of the new covenant, as both fitted for the times at which they were given, were bestowed by one and the same God for the benefit of the human race. For all those who are of a perverse mind, having been set against the Mosaic legislation, judging it to be dissimilar and contrary to the doctrine of the gospel, have not applied themselves to investigate the causes of the difference of each covenant. Since, therefore, they have been deserted by the paternal love, and puffed up by Satan, being brought over to the doctrine of Simon Magus, they have apostatized in their opinions from him who is God, and imagine that they have themselves discovered more than the apostles, by finding out another God, and maintain that the apostles preached the gospel still somewhat under the influence of Jewish opinions, but that they themselves are purer in doctrine and more intelligent than the apostles. Wherefore also Marcion and his followers have betaken themselves to mutilating the scriptures, not acknowledging some books at all, and curtailing the gospel according to Luke and the epistles of Paul. They assert that these are alone authentic, which they have themselves thus shortened. In another work, however, I shall, God granting me strength, refute them out of these which they still retain. But all the rest, inflated with the false name of knowledge, Gnostic, do certainly recognize the scriptures, but they pervert the interpretations, as I have shown in the first book. And indeed, the followers of Marcion do directly blaspheme the Creator, alleging him to be the creator of evils, but holding a more tolerable theory as to his origin, and maintaining that there are two beings, gods by nature, differing from each other, the one being good, but the other evil. Those from Valentinus, however, while they employ names of a more honorable kind, and set forth that he who is creator is both Father and Lord and God, do nevertheless render their theory or sect more blasphemous, by maintaining that he was not produced from any one of those aeons within the Pleroma, but from that defect which had been expelled beyond the Pleroma. Ignorance of the Scriptures and of the dispensation of God has brought all these things upon them. And in the course of this work I shall touch upon the cause of the difference of the covenants, on the one hand, and on the other hand, of their unity and harmony. But that both the apostles and their disciples, thus taught as the church preaches, and thus teaching, were perfected, wherefore also they were called away to that which is perfect. Stephen, teaching these truths when he was yet on earth, saw the glory of God and Jesus on his right hand, and exclaimed, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." These words he said, and was stoned. And thus did he fulfill the perfect doctrine, copying in every respect the leader of martyrdom, and praying for those who were slaying him in these words, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Thus were they perfected, who knew one and the same God, who from beginning to end was present with mankind in the various dispensations. As the prophet Hosea declares, "I have filled up visions and used similitudes by the hands of the prophets." Those, therefore, who delivered up their souls to death for Christ's gospel, how could they have spoken to men in accordance with old established opinion? If this had been the course adopted by them, they should not have suffered. But inasmuch as they did preach things contrary to those persons who did not assent to the truth, for that reason they suffered. It is evident, therefore, that they did not relinquish the truth, but with all boldness preached to the Jews and the Greeks. To the Jews, indeed, they proclaimed that the Jesus who was crucified by them was the Son of God, the Judge of the living and dead, and that he has received from his Father an eternal kingdom in Israel, as I have pointed out. But to the Greeks they preached one God who made all things, and Jesus Christ his Son. This is shown in a still clearer light from the letter of the apostles, which they forwarded neither to the Jews nor to the Greeks, but to those who from the Gentiles believed in Christ, confirming their faith. For when certain men had come down from Judea to Antioch, where also, first of all, the Lord's disciples were called Christians because of their faith in Christ, and sought to persuade those who had believed in the Lord to be circumcised and to perform other things after the observance of the law, And when Paul and Barnabas had gone up to Jerusalem to the apostles on account of this question, and the whole church had convened together, Peter thus addressed them. Men, brethren, you know how that from the days of old God made choice among you, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, the searcher of the heart, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit even as to us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to impose a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be saved, even as they. After him, James spoke as follows. Men, brethren, Simon hath declared how God did purpose to take from among the Gentiles a people for his name. And thus do the words of the prophets agree, as it is written. After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, among whom my name has been invoked, saith the Lord, doing these things. Known from eternity is his work to God. Wherefore I, for my part, give judgment that we trouble not them whom from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that it be enjoined them that they do abstain from the vanities of idols, and from fornication, and from blood, and whatsoever they wish not to be done to themselves, let them not do to others. And when these things had been said, and all had given their consent, they wrote to them after this manner. The apostles, and the presbyters, and the brethren, unto those brethren from among the Gentiles who are in Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia, greeting. For as much as we have heard that certain persons going out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have delivered up their soul for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, that they may declare our opinion by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from fornication, and whatsoever ye do not wish to be done to you, do not do to others. From which, preserving yourselves, ye shall do well, walking in the Holy Spirit. From all these passages, then, it is evident that they did not teach the existence of another Father, but gave the new covenant of liberty to those who had lately believed in God by the Holy Spirit. But they clearly indicated, from the nature of the point debated by them, as to whether or not it were still necessary to circumcise the disciples, that they had no idea of another God. Neither in that case would they have had such a tenor with regard to the first covenant, as not even to have been willing to eat with the Gentiles. For even Peter, although he had been sent to instruct them, and had been constrained by a vision to that effect, spoke nevertheless with not a little hesitation, saying to them, Ye know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with, or to come unto, one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I without gainsaying. Indicating by these words that he would not have come to them, unless he had been commanded. Neither for a like reason would he have given them baptism so readily, had he not heard them prophesying when the Holy Ghost rested upon them. And therefore did he exclaim, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He persuaded at the same time those that were with him, and pointed out that unless the Holy Ghost had rested upon them, there might have been someone who would have raised objections to their baptism. And the apostles who were with James allowed the Gentiles to act freely, yielding us up to the Spirit of God. But they themselves, while knowing the same God, continued in the ancient observances, so that even Peter, fearing also lest he might incur their reproof, although formerly eating with the Gentiles because of the vision and of the Spirit who had rested upon them, yet when certain persons came from James, withdrew himself and did not eat with them. And Paul said that Barnabas likewise did the same thing. Thus did the apostles, whom the Lord made witnesses of every action and every doctrine, for upon all occasions do we find Peter and James and John present with him, scrupulously act according to the dispensation of the Mosaic law, showing that it was from one and the same God, which they certainly never would have done, as I already have said, if they had learned from the Lord that there existed another Father besides him who appointed the dispensation of the law. End of chapter 12.